Help us to see, O Lord, the greatness of thy salvation and to live by it. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen.
I want to go on with Philippians 3:20 tonight. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, immigrants are barely tolerated, they're certainly not loved, and they're accused of stealing our jobs. Well, we're immigrants, we're all immigrants from heaven, and we live in a country and in a world that doesn't really accept us, and it doesn't really want us and thinks that we're doing wrong. Especially they can't understand us. Now, it's an amazing thing. What they can't understand is the money. You listen to an election broadcast and they say, if you vote for me, you'll get more money. Now, one appeals to one group and another to another. But it's basically, that's how elections run. Now, you and I have a strange view of money, which the world cannot fathom. Take it like this. Spurgeon told of a minister, I presume it was himself, I don't know, who went to ask a donation of a very rich merchant in London for his church, and the man gave him a cheque for £50. And as his minister stood up to go, the merchant ripped open a letter. This was in mid-Victorian times, and he said, and the minister listened with horror, I've just lost an entire ship, and £6,000 has gone. That was a very big sum of money then. He trembled for his cheque. He thought the man was just about to take it. He said, I can't afford this anymore. And as the minister prepared to hand him back the cheque, he said, give me that cheque. So the minister handed it to him, and he ripped it up. Now, he said, I realise that I'm putting my money where it's not safe. I'm going to put it in the bank of heaven. So he returned the minister a cheque for £500. That's a true story. You see, we have a completely different idea about money to the world, and that's one of the ways where we go. We aren't understood. Now, I want to show you how you should live, and how I should live, and it speaks to my heart. And in this chapter, we've looked at some details, but I want to look at some of the principles behind it first. And the first principle is this. You look back at verse 4 of Philippians 3, and look how it says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. So then, what Paul is saying there, if you look at his overall picture, is he's saying, I have a determination. Now, a citizen of heaven needs determination. Bunyan put it this way, in the interpreter's house, he was shown a beautiful palace, and on the roof of it stood people in white, beckoning in the crowds who stood at the gate. But in the gateway was a man where you had to set down your name, and he gave you a helmet and a shield and a sword. And inside the gate was a fierce old warrior, and many of them. And you had to fight your way through that to get to the palace. And Bunyan said, I saw, and a man walked up and said, set me down. And the man wrote his name down and gave him the equipment. And he went in and he said, I saw him receive many a wound and fight hard until he broke through. And later he said, I saw him among the mystical ones in white on the roof. And he seemed so happy. Now, that is what you and I are about. Determination. You've got to have determination to reach heaven. And determination is something which Paul had in abundance. Now, that's the larger picture then. A steady determination. What was that determination? But look what it is, he says. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So, what he wanted was Christ. Now, he doesn't say he wanted to be like Christ. He doesn't say he wanted anything, he just wanted Christ. And if you're going to be a Christian, you have to have a determination not to set your jaw and say this, that and the other, but I want Christ. And I will have Christ in any situation. Whatever it costs me, Christ. So if they burn my body and Christ is with me, I want Christ. If they take my goods and Christ is with me, I want Christ. That's the Christian, and that's the citizen of heaven. We want Christ, and we're determined to have Christ at any cost to the flesh. It means laying aside everything we valued. It means losing all we are, but the one thing we will not lose is Christ. Now, it means a great change, and look what it says. It says, and be found in him, verse 9, not having mine own righteousness, which it is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now that word conformable means something there, that Christ is formed in us. Paul said to the Corinthians, my little children, I travel over you, it meant he worked hard over them in prayer, until Christ be formed in you. How far has Christ been formed in your life? Is everything you do in the dark and alone Christ? Is Christ all in all? And Christ, said Paul, shall be all in all when we reach the end. One day, at the end of the pilgrimage, I will have lost this body, I will have lost my voice, I will have lost my eyesight and my hearing. They're beginning to go now, and in a way I rejoice, because I'm getting nearer to when I shall win Christ. And I have one desire, and that is to be in Christ, and to be found in him, and to know his power, and to know his strength. Now, that is the overarching picture of the Christian, this determination to get hold of being in Christ, and get hold of Christ himself. Christ is the way, and Christ the prize. That's what it is. If by any means, he said, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now that word conform again, let's go back to it. It means Christ, if you look back earlier in Philippians, we haven't time for everything, but it means that Christ was this. He was in the form of God. And that means he was outwardly a man when you looked at him, but inwardly God. And what he's saying is, you'll be outwardly a man all your life, but inwardly be Christ. Inside, let nothing be there but Christ. Christ from the beginning to the end. Now that's a very simple thing for a Christian to aim at, and Christianity is simple. We don't have to make it highly complicated, but that, if you don't aim for that, you'll miss the mark. You see, those things are there. Now, the next thing is that it's the mind of Christ we want. Verse 10, that I may know him. Now, what you want is, let this mind be in you. And this is earlier in Philippians 2, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal, something to be grasped at, something to be stolen, something to be acquired. to be thought it not a thing to be grasped at to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. The hardest thing in the Christian life is the loss of reputation. That is it. Where other people are honoured, we're dishonoured. Where other people with really less gifts even than us can get very high, but they miss us out every time. And the reason is they hate Christ. Jesus said, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me. God told Samuel, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me. Because in you is Christ. And Christ shines through you. And as Christ shines through you, other people are either attracted or hated. The one thing they really fear. I had my eyes tested this week, and the girl was testing me. She was an Irish girl. She said to me, "Do you still work?" And I said, "Well, not for money, but I do plenty of work." She said, "Just to make you feel good." I said, "For Christ's sake." She looked as if she'd struck. I said, "These eyes are going," I said, "but I don't mind, because I see Christ more clearly as they go." And I said, "One day I shall be with Christ." She went frozen. To think of anyone talking about death like that, she'll absolutely put off. But Christ, you see, is ours. And Christ will be ours forever. This is the one eternal possession you've got. Look on verse 11. "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." He doesn't mean he's in any doubt about whether he's going to get there. He means I'm determined to get there. It's absolute determination I have to get to the resurrection of the dead. You see, when we speak of the judgment day, you do realize that there will be a judgment of those who don't believe, and there will be another judgment of those who do believe, and we shall be without condemnation. We shall be asked about things, but we have a dear Heavenly Father, a brother, a Saviour, a kind friend who will ask us. They will be asked in a very different spirit and in a very different way. Feel sorry for them. Help them while you can. You see, that's Christ, winning Christ and attaining to the resurrection of the dead. I want to be in the second resurrection. Blessed and holy is he. And the first resurrection. I have part in the first resurrection. That's what I want to be. Not in the resurrection to judgment and damnation, but the resurrection to glory. And that's where we are. "Not as though I had already attained." We see Paul isn't saying that he's got there. He wants this mind formed in him. And accept change without limits. One of the things you've got to do as a Christian is to accept that change will come into your life and there are no limits to it. Many Christians limit the changes. Now, I know that most Christians can't change their position. There are women married to someone, they can't change it. There are people who have bodily problems. There are all sorts. None of us can suddenly aspire to being Einstein. We can only be what we are. But be prepared for change. A lot of Christians settle down. Paul didn't settle down. So you can see the great principle that overrides this. A determination to know Christ, however much I have to change, until I am like him. All the change is from my side. And I must change to be more and more like him. Now that doesn't just mean having a holier than thou smile. It means obeying the whole Old Testament. One fifth of the New Testament, one fifth, is taken up with hospitality. Think about that. And that's just one way we become more like Christ in these things. "But I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." That's it. Now, there's a second part to this. You see, look, he wants, in this first part, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The prize is Christ. "Let us therefore be as many as be perfect, be thus minded." Perfect means upright, sincere. It does not mean perfection in this world. We are being perfected, but we are not perfect. And yet, we are not to touch sin or to know sin. Nothing to do with that, but a perfection is something that is beyond us. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall even reveal this to you. So his first great thing he's taught them is to go for Christ, determine on Christ, and get to Christ. But the second part, Paul says, you copy me in that first, but the second part is verse 7. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So what Paul is saying is, I am an example of Jesus Christ. If you want Jesus Christ, just look at me. If you want to know how he behaved, just watch me. If you want to know what you should do to be Christ-like, just be like me. Now, you and I aren't apostles. And we can't say to each other, you be like me, and then you'll be like Christ. But people read you when they don't read the Bible. Most people never read a Bible, but they do read you. And they read you very, very closely indeed, and watch you. And they watch for your failings, and they watch any way they can. And, oh, it's something wonderful. You be like Paul. So then, Paul is of value to us in that he reflects Christ. That's all it is. We don't have to be like Paul in that we cut our hair the way he did, or that we wear the same clothes, or we go the same rounds, or we bother about the same things, or eat the same food. But his Christ-likeness is what we're to follow. And that is it. So he is exhorting. So the second great overarching principle is this. We are here as exhorters. Now, the Calvinistic Methodists in the 18th century in Wales found themselves cut off from the other Methodists because they were Calvinistic, because they believed in the position that Calvin took about the predestination of God. And Wesley actually cut them off. They didn't cut off themselves. Now, in that position, they had only a few clergy. And so they appointed exhorters. And exhorters went round, and some of them were fine men. Some of them did wonders. You read the early Methodist fathers in Wales. Oh, they were excellent men. There were men like Daniel Rowlands who were in the Church of England who were part of them. Many Church of England people were Methodists then, who gathered such crowds that they couldn't possibly meet in church. And it was said that five counties met together just to hear him preach every Sunday. And when the bishop turned him out of the church and out of the Church of England, Rowlands was followed by the whole of South Wales, really. And they turned from the Church of England into the Calvinistic Methodists, who became extremely large. But men like Elias, oh, there are many such people. Christmas Evans, you can read their stories. They were wonderful men. Now, they were exhorters. And you're an exhorter. You may not be a preacher, but you are an exhorter. And Paul is exhorting people to be like him. And you're to exhort people to be like you. Now, you may not say, be like me because I'm like Christ. But you can say to people, do what I do. Do what I do. Do exactly what I do. And you'll grow in Christ. And Christ will be formed in you. And the mind of Christ will be in you. And you'll get the determination to live for Christ and to die for Christ. That's it. You see, go back a verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. What he says is this. Don't go back. Don't go back sinking backwards in your life. Put aside the things that are past. It doesn't mean we just throw aside sins as if they never happened. We confess them and put them away. But put away the past. This one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, I press on toward the mark. You press on. Don't let things down you. Don't let failures dog you. Don't let anything overcome you. Oh, keep on for Jesus. That's what this is about. And that's a citizen of heaven. Now, there's lots more I'd written down to say to you, but I'm going to leave it there. Amen.